This morning's New Testament lesson comes to us from Ephesians, chapters 5, verses 1 through 2 and 8 through 14, and chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord, the word of our Lord. I have a list of words and short phrases here that I'm going to read to you. Yesterday, these appeared to me in the order in which I'm going to read them. And when I say appeared to me, don't worry, I'm not having visions. I'll explain how I found them later, and you'll understand, and I promise you'll be okay with it. So here are the words, and they appear to be random. But see what comes to mind for you. Lord, I grieve. Love, pleased. God, understand. Tongue, mercy endures. Blessed, loving. Generation, mercy, law, overwhelmed, turn, Lord. Today is, of course, Father's Day. Traditionally, this is the day in which we celebrate fathers. Usually that means the male caregiver in the home, but I hope you won't mind if I broaden that definition. Because some of us here this morning never knew our biological fathers. Some of us had fathers who were abusive. Some of our fathers were present in our home, but absent from our lives, as was my own case. But I'm willing to bet that most of us, if not all of us, had some man in our lives who served as a positive role model in some way, who was special. For me, that was my high school band teacher, Mr. Fred Baker. For you, if it wasn't your own father, perhaps it was a troop leader or a family friend. It might have been a neighbor, another teacher, perhaps even a pastor. If you did not have someone like that in your life, then knowing the men of this church the way that I do, I believe I can speak for all of us when I say I hope that you will accept this honest, sincere apology, because you should have had someone like that, and it's not your fault that you didn't. Recently, the Australian newspaper The Guardian reported that there are now, for the first time in history, more unchurched people in England and Wales than there are Christians. That's startling news that can be attributed, in part, to the decreased numbers of involved fathers over the last few generations. It's certainly a trend that we're starting to see happen here in America. But I don't think it has to be this way. I look around the sanctuary this morning, and I see godly men. I see men who unknowingly serve as inspiration to me, as role models to me. And I see men who I know have served as role models to other children in this community. So today, on this particular Father's Day, I'd like us to celebrate not just men who are biological fathers, but men who act like fathers, who try to fill that role that may be missing or inadequate in a child's life. And of course, we'll also celebrate fathers-to-be and grandfathers who, by very circumstance, are fathers. So that brings us to this, which you probably cannot see very well. This is an ornament made by a woman who used to be the custodian, Brenda. And she makes these out of paper, these little ornaments, very pretty, delicate little petals, very intricate origami. And she sells them in the park on the farmer's market. And a couple of weeks ago, I saw them, and I was kind of joking around with her. And I said, you know, if you can make these out of the onion skin paper that they print Bibles on, then I'm really going to be impressed. Well, I didn't realize that she had a family Bible from her grandmother that had become mildewed, and she was worried about it spreading to the pages that her grandmother had written on. She didn't know what to do with the Bible. So she went home, and she cut out those mildewed pages and very carefully cut away the mildew and created this. And this is actually from her grandmother's Bible. And she gave this to me yesterday, and I held it up, and the very first word I saw was Lord, all capital letters. And I brought it home, and I started spinning it around, and after about the third word, I realized I should probably write these down. And so what I read to you is the list of words as I wrote them down, as I read them off of this ornament. So the goal this morning is to take these words and show how we can better approach being godly men and father figures by emulating how our own Heavenly Father cares for us. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord, Paul wrote. Now, of course, mothers can benefit from this too, and I think a lot of this information is useful in all human relationships. And if you women pay attention as we go along, I might just open up some of the mysteries of the male mind, and I know you're interested because I've stood in the checkout line, I've seen the magazines you read. So this is where it all begins. Lord. This is the very last sentence that Anne read to you from the Old Testament reading, followed by the very first sentence of the reading that I read to you. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. As fathers, this is where we place our eyes and our hearts. We walk with the Lord, and we teach our children to do the same by emulating Christ, by being imitators of God. And ladies, here's your first insight, although I'm sure it's not a surprise to most of you. Sometimes, although we rarely admit it, as fathers, we grieve. We grieve when our children turn away from their faith. We grieve when they go against God's teachings, when they go against what we've tried to teach them, when we watch them do self-destructive. Now, I have two boys and a girl, and I can tell you I grieved a lot more over the girl than I did the boys. I grieved every time she went out on a date, and I grieved every time she had her heart broken, because as parents, we grieve when our children grieve. And just to speak for a moment to the parents whose children have walked away from the faith, I just want to tell you, remind you what Paul wrote to the Philippians, to be confident that he who began a good work will complete it. They're coming back. It's just in God's time. So keep praying, but if you've raised them in the faith, they'll be back, and I can stand here as living proof of that. The reason why we grieve over our children is because we love. That doesn't mean you can't be saddened by something, but you certainly won't be grief-stricken unless there's love in your heart. As a scriptural example, in the book of John, we find Jesus physically weeping with Mary over the body of her brother Lazarus. Mary loves her brother, so she grieves. Jesus loves Mary, so he grieves with her. And it's just that simple. Because we love our children, we feel the pain just as God feels our pain because of his love for us. Psalm 56 says he keeps track of all of our sorrows and collects all of our tears in a bottle. And if we love as God loves, if we walk as he does, then he is pleased. I hope I'm getting these right. Paul writes in Colossians that if we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, then we will be fully pleasing to him. And there's another side to that as well. When you're walking in step with the Lord and you know you're really walking with the Lord, you just feel like you're making the right choices and you feel good about your relationship with Him. And it just seems like life is working even if your circumstances are difficult. When that happens, you're definitely pleasing to God. But aren't you also pleased with Him? If your children see you walking in that kind of light, emulating Christ, they will be more likely to emulate your walk. And when that happens, they will be pleasing to you, and they will be pleased with you. The most important thing is that the center of that relationship is not you, and it's not your child. It's God. He is before all things, and in Him holds all things together. He is before all things, and in Him holds all things together. As men, this can be hard to remember sometimes, because we're wired in such a way that if we have a problem, we just want to fix it. And we want to fix it ourselves right then. We're supposed to be leaders. And so we want everyone around us to believe that we know what we're doing, can solve every problem, and that we understand even when we don't. That's why, no, we're not going to stop and ask for directions. We know where we are. We're not going to, someone else must have moved that thing that I'm looking for because it should be right where I left it. You ever walked in, ladies, if you ever walked into a room where a man in your house is work, or a man in your life is working on a project, and you ask, what are you doing? And he says, I don't have time to explain it to you right now, or you won't understand it. Yeah, what he's really saying is, I don't have a clue how this thing works, but I really want you to go away so I can figure it out. It's hard for us to admit that we don't understand everything. But in terms of parenting, here's where we look. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, and all of you know this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. This is a crucially important verse to being a successful, positive role model or father. And it's a key verse to a successful walk in Christ. Because if you're having trouble with your child, the solution for that is the same as it is for any problem in your life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. When we don't turn to God and we let ourselves get worked up, this next word can become a pretty sharp weapon. Tongue. I can have a pretty sharp tongue, and with it come a lot of regrets. And could my father. But that itself is a teachable moment, that we're human. Sometimes we don't always do the right thing as parents, that sometimes even we need forgiveness, and that God will always grant it to us when we approach Him honestly, because His mercy endures. Numbers chapter 14 says, "The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion." If you are not yet a father or a mother, guys, Jonathan, Cameron, how old are you guys? 11? How old are you?
9.
You guys got any kids? No? Okay. Well, remember what I'm going to say to you, okay, when you do have children, okay? Sometimes you're going to get it wrong, all right? And when that happens, you will need the mercy of your children. So don't hesitate to hand out forgiveness to them when they ask for it. Okay? Imitate God, because He's really quick to forgive us, right? You're going to want their forgiveness someday. I remember when I was about 4 years old, riding in the family car. My father was driving, my mother was in the passenger seat, and I was in the back seat. And I'd been quiet for a while, and I suddenly called out, "Jesus Christ," and my mother thought I was swearing and turned around and slapped me so hard I can still hear it. And then when she went back into her seat, facing forward, my father quietly pointed out the billboard from the Church of Latter-day Saints that I'd been reading. So you're going to get it wrong. Don't forget that mercy is important. And forgive your kids, because you're going to want them to forgive you someday. As long as you place God in the center of that relationship, you'll realize just how blessed you are. And I'm not just speaking to fathers here. I'm speaking to everybody who is in a position of influence over any child. That's everybody here, right? Think of each interaction with each child as a gift. That is a developing soul that God has placed in your path to help nurture. And that's not an accident. You have been given an opportunity to show that child how to walk in the light of the Lord. And I can't think of another blessing that means as much or is more important than that. And if we take that seriously, this next generation will become a loving generation that will have mercy for others and will follow God's law, because you will have shown them through your own walk that if they ever find themselves to be overwhelmed with the world, they will turn to the Lord. Right back where we started. And yes, this is actually a second Lord on that ornament, and the very last word to be written as it should be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And if you can remember that in all that you do with the children in your life, you will certainly bring them up to the Lord. Happy Father's Day. In the name of our Heavenly Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.